sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 21 and 25. Luke chapter 6, verses 21 and 25. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Verse 25. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Pray with me. Lord, help us now to evaluate our own condition in the light of your word. To see if we are those who are blessed because they are hungry. Or to see if we are those who are not blessed and shall be hungry because we don't have what we really need. We need you, Lord, now to remove the scales from our eyes, to clean off our glasses, that we would look and see our lives aright, that you would be glorified. Please help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus has this great big crowd assembled all around him. People have traveled great distances at this point to be with him. And I can imagine what's going on in the crowd as he makes this statement. Imagine if you had traveled a great distance. You had walked to be here. And as I would stand before you, as Jesus preached and taught before them, blessed are you who hunger now. I can imagine at that moment somebody's dad's stomach grumbled. I can imagine at that moment that somebody gave him a nudge and said, boy, are you blessed at this point. The people at this point, Jesus, as he was speaking, the words would be resonating with them. The word would be speaking and being spoken. It would be going into their mind and it would be going into their heart. It would be working reality that they would be seeing and be interpreting and understanding new truths for the first time in their lives. Their need would be being revealed to them as they thought through these circumstances. Perhaps some of them at that point, as they were dealing with this and they were dealing with their hunger, maybe the reality of the great hike before them was coming to mind, that I am going to have to walk all the way home. I am already hungry. I am already famished. Maybe my hands are already trembling as my blood sugar is so low. And he says, but you're blessed. You're blessed if you're hungry. You're blessed if your stomach is growling. You're blessed if your hands are trembling. As he's laying this reality out for them, I'm going to pull us back to Proverbs chapter 30. And there is this prayer in the midst of Proverbs 30. Feed me with the food that is my portion. That is, don't give me more than is mine. Don't give me more than I would need. And we could even say, feed me with the portion that is my daily bread, would be a safe way to interpret what's being brought here. That I not be full and deny you. This idea that we can be given so much, or we can take so much and fill ourselves up so much that we miss our need for Jesus Christ. I've talked before about this idea of our self-medication. These things that we give ourselves, that we feed ourselves with. So it's as if at this point Jesus is saying, I'm about to bring you what you really need. I'm about to feed you and give you that which is going to strengthen you and give you eternal life. I hope you're hungry. Now, in our lives, we get ourselves to the point of a continuous self-medication or a continuous feeding of ourselves where we're not hungry enough to see that we have an actual need. Some of us may be eager, as I stated earlier, to go home and find that secret snack that we have someplace. Some of us may be looking forward to some party or some event where we will get our favorite cake or get our favorite pie. Some of us may have been longing for the fellowship meal that is coming up and looking forward to what someone is going to bring or what someone is going to supply. Okay. But are you longing for and are you hungry for what Jesus actually provides? In another gospel, he says, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Now, I don't want to remove the connection that is being brought here with just the idea of the hunger, because hopefully some of that will resonate with some of us. There was a, Leslie and I, we are really good at doing fad diets for 2 weeks. And we'll do one, and then we'll do the next one, and we'll do the next one. And one of them, the idea was, you don't eat until you're actually hungry. Well, I don't even know. I don't think I even know what hunger is. You know, I'm not sure what that feeling in my stomach is. I don't know that it's hunger. And one of the ways that it was portrayed to us, it said, after your stomach growls twice, then you can go ahead and eat something. And as we read that, it warned us, some of you will actually go for days before your stomach will actually growl twice. Because we have fed ourselves and we have fed ourselves and we have fed ourselves that our body won't even respond or know that it's hungry. So the call for you this morning is to go ahead and be hungry. And go ahead and be satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. So our first step is simply, be hungry. Verse 21, blessed are you who hunger now. Now this idea of the hunger, it doesn't have to be specifically our stomachs, but I think that really speaks well to our culture. The idea that we aren't hungry and we are almost never hungry for what we really need. We fill ourselves with our wants, and we fill ourselves with our distractions to the point where when Jesus comes and says, this is what you need, this is the answer to what you need, this is what will fill you, almost all of us can just rub our stomachs and say, just ate, thanks anyway. We fill ourselves with the drama of life, the drama of television. We fill ourselves with our aimless distractions. We get a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We have a hunger and a thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ, but we will go and quite literally eat anything besides that, besides Him and going to Him. I ask you, and you can consider, and maybe you'll have a good answer that's going to be encouraging to you at this point, or maybe this is going to reveal something to you. You can say, yeah, I'm off. I'm messed up here. When have you felt anxious? Or when have you felt afraid? Or when have you felt lonely? And your answer was to go to the scripture and prayer this past week. Now, I myself, if I start feeling anxious or lonely or afraid, my first inclination might not be to go to the scripture and prayer. My inclination may very well be go to the refrigerator. There is a hunger and a thirst that everyone has. It's been described in this little cliche way as a God-shaped hole in everybody's heart. That nothing can fill that eternal hole other than the eternal God. It might be a little cliche, but it's absolutely true. There's a TV show called something like My 400-Pound Life or My 500-Pound Life, something like that. And it's these people who are actually at to the point where they can't get out of bed. They look like a waterbed is how big they are. They've been lonely. They've been anxious. They've been afraid. And they eat. And they eat. And they eat. Every one of us could look at our lives and we could find that thing. If it's not food, it's something else. The thing that you run to when you're lonely, or you're afraid, or you're anxious. And we feed ourselves with these things. And this is why he says in verse 25, "Woe to you who are well fed now." The problem there is, you don't see that you need Jesus. The problem there is, you don't think you can eat another bite. So for many of us, there's going to be a stepping away from our medication or our food. I'm calling our food the medication. I'm calling our aimless distractions our medication. Those things who are making us think that we do not need God. It's those who think that they are good, or that they are well provided for, or that they are well cared for, apart from an interactive life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theology can even be this distraction for our lives. A great piece came out in the study of the Calvin's Institutes in chapter 6 this past week. It was described the way that the patriarchs would have communicated God to their kids. And so they didn't have their Bible. And they didn't have the law written out at that point. They didn't have the Westminster Confession. And they didn't have the Shorter Catechism. They didn't have any of these things that they were bringing. It wasn't a doctrine being imposed or taught and line by line gone through. I'm a big fan of the line by line gone through. But it wasn't that. He would tell them about God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, who is my friend and my Savior. I want you to know Him. Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you about the great works that He has done, that He has accomplished. This is the true nourishment and nurturing that comes from a relationship with God, being fed by Him. This is that place where we say, this is what my soul has needed. This is what God has given to me. In the times when I was trying to do street evangelism in Beaver Falls, there was this lady who was older and worn down. If you picture a frayed jacket, she was kind of like that. And I went up to her one day and I said, I want to talk to you about your soul. And she responded with such anger and bitterness and said, my soul is fine. It didn't seem like that was probably the case. Are you there? Are you where you say, my soul is fine? Or are you at the place where you can say, yeah, let's talk about that. Lord, let's talk about my soul. Show me what I actually need to put off and what I need to put on. Our next step following be hungry is be satisfied. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. What does it mean to actually be satisfied? How can we be satisfied in this life? We've been reading through, or listening through an audiobook when we travel, some of the Tolkien works, and we've been learning about the hobbits for a period of time. These ones who would be setting up for breakfast, and someone would say to them, "We've already had breakfast." And a hobbit would respond, "First breakfast, yes. What about second breakfast?" And they would have their little dialogue between one another and saying, "I don't think he knows about second breakfast." And the other would respond, "What about lunch and afternoon teas and onesies and dinner and supper?" And run through this whole list of things that they have to fill themselves. And when we were on vacation last year, we had been listening to that. And they described this idea that the hobbits would talk about getting down to the end of the food. And they described it as filling in the corners. That you were filling yourself that much. And I remember being at a meal, and I think we were at Cracker Barrel, and someone, and I was full. I was certainly full. And someone pulls out the dessert menu, and I'll take a moment to swallow as I continue. And it was realized and discovered that they had apple dumplings a la mode. And my mom used to go to this great big apple tree behind the garage where I, in my childhood home, and we would pick these apples, and my mom would make these amazing apple dumplings. And I said, how could I pass up an apple dumpling, even though I'm full? And when they brought it out, it was this big in this deep dish, this deep. And it had ice cream on top of it. And heaven help me, I dove in. And I was already full. And I ate the whole thing. And I think someone else might not have finished there. And I pulled a Nate and took theirs as well. And I finished that. And I remember thinking, I have filled in the corners. And there was a satisfaction in that moment. I don't want to say that it never happens. I don't want to say that you can't eat enough to feel satisfied. But I promise you, it cost me. And I didn't know that I was hungry in that moment. I didn't know that I needed Jesus. And I know you've all been there too. Maybe not at Cracker Barrel, and maybe it wasn't apple dumplings a la mode. Maybe it's some other form of aimless distraction. For some of us, it would even be alcohol. For some of us, it has even been drugs. For some of us, it has been a relationship. It has been the harlot. Either the real harlot or something fake that we see, a two-dimensional harlot. We've all filled ourselves with emptiness and death, and we have forgotten that we were hungry. So we see Jesus saying, "You will be satisfied, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you're not going to eat the other stuff," is the idea. Psalm 34:8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." You see, God gives us these things with which we are to be satisfied. The means of grace, the word, the sacraments, and prayer. At that place, we are satisfied for real. And it is strengthening and is encouraging. It's helpful. And we say, what blessedness, or how blessed we are when we're actually satisfied and filled with Christ Jesus. Eating program. It wasn't a weight loss thing, but I can't even remember the name of it now. But you studied the scripture in order to lose weight. And you had an accountability partner. And the question for the beginning, each time, was, have you feasted on God's word today? That first we would seek to be being satisfied with Christ Jesus. Have you feasted on God's word today? Because at that place, we can actually be at the place where we're satisfied. I'm satisfied enough that I don't need a whole bag of Doritos and can of salsa. I've actually been given everything I need. I'm satisfied so much that I don't need a harlot. A real one or a two-dimensional one. I'm satisfied so much I don't need alcohol. I don't need to be drunk. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with Christ Jesus. I've actually filled in the corners with Him. I think this is the idea of seeking Him with our whole heart. That we have so much of Him, we are satisfied and we don't need these other things. Our needs in our lives could be described as an itch or a rash. And what do you want to do with an itch or a rash? You want to scratch. Is that what it needs, though? Has it ever really helped? I remember when my brother and I, we were going through chicken pox. And I remember my brother is sitting on the raised stool at my mother's house. I'm sitting at the table and I'm looking up at him and my mother calls out at my brother Luke. She admonishes him, "Luke, stop scratching!" And I remember him vigorously scratching his head and his hair crazy. He said, "I'm trying, Mom! I'm trying!" There's this idea that we think that nothing is going to help us but scratching this itch. When your itch is sin, when your itch is gluttony, filling yourself with sin or filling yourself with gluttony, all of these extra things, it's just scratching the wound and it's only going to make it itch worse. What we really need, and this idea is brought out in Jeremiah 46:11, "Go up to Gilead and obtain balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain you have multiplied remedies. There is no healing for you in these things." The things that we have sought apart from Christ to scratch these itches just makes it worse. Can you see that you've developed open wounds from scratching and scratching and scratching? Where what we need is Christ Jesus, this balm of Gilead, as it's been referred to. We deal with, and the struggle is with this fake filling. And it can be anything in our lives that we fill ourselves with other than Jesus Christ and His Word. So we move to our third step, which is don't give yourself to temporary sweetness. Again, verse 21. "Blessed are you who hunger." Proverbs 5:3-5. "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech." Now there is a reality. There are words that can be spoken to you that seem so sweet that they will connect with your heart and you say, "Wow, that's exactly what I needed." Each of us have been built with an internal need. We have that internal need for God. We have these needs in our lives that we are given. Oh, it's not good for the man to be alone, for example. A man needs to be respected. A woman needs to be loved. And we're always in danger of falling into these places to have these needs met in other places that aren't appropriate. The forbidden woman isn't a terrible thing. The forbidden woman is only terrible when you take her because she was forbidden. Every woman is a forbidden woman in some sense. And we look and we see that are we filling ourselves with these things that it will actually be death. "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol." We see that we are eager to run to anything that seems like it will fill us. Proverbs 14:12-14. "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his." We see the need and the need being met. So our fourth step is don't be a glutton. If we looked up gluttony, gluttony is the excess of anything. It can be anything. For those of us who have hobbies, we have to watch carefully. How far do our hobbies take us? I have to I have to look and maybe even reevaluate. How far should I run? Can I be a gluttony for running? A glutton for running? I certainly can. I certainly can. Can you be a glutton for basketball? You certainly can. Can we be a glutton for theater? We certainly can. Can we be a glutton for anything? Yes, we can. Can you be a glutton for theology in a bad way? You certainly can. If it removes you or moves you from the place, this is the creator of heaven and earth. This is my God and my friend. And our love and our affection is for the letter rather than the speaker. We certainly can. The most obvious application, as Jesus is speaking about it, is our food. Blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be satisfied. Last week we read Jeremiah 5, verses 27 through 31, and we return there now. Like a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and rich. They are fat. They are sleek. They also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan, that they may prosper. And they do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and the people love it so. But what shall be the end of it for you? What shall be the end of it for you if you continuously scrape and scratch at the boil, at the rash? Proverbs 23, 1 through 3 again. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. And this is very strong language here. Put a knife to your throat if you are a man of great appetite, and do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. What have been the deceptive foods in your life? Where do you run when you're anxious, when you're afraid, when you're alone? We have to look and recognize our actual need. Our actual hunger is for righteousness. Our actual need, our actual hunger is for the Lord Jesus Christ. For some of us, and probably for all of us, this would bring us to the place of a fast, where you look and you diagnose what it has been that you have been filling yourself with rather than Christ Jesus. Giving up that thing for a period of time to where you actually get to where you know it's Jesus that I need to heal my anxiety, to heal my fear, to heal my loneliness. If you can give it up, and if you will give it up, you will actually be hungry. And you will actually be blessed. You will actually be satisfied. So I call on you to be hungry. Know your actual need and be satisfied with Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you that you love us too much to leave us scraping and scratching at our own blisters and boils and rashes. We thank you that you love us too much to leave us sit and to be fat, to be gluttons, to be satisfied apart from you, to where we will be hungry again and again and again. God, please satisfy us with yourself, with your Son, Jesus Christ. May we know our true hunger and may we truly be filled. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.